This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hey everyone, welcome to My Millennial Money Express. I'm Glenn James. There was some chatter in the Facebook group about the cost of financial advice, whether you need an advisor or not. So what I've put together is a little three-part series, really short. This first episode today, I speak with somebody who has recently engaged a financial advisor. And then the other two episodes that I'll put up will be me interviewing a couple of different financial advisors. And I'm asking a series of questions just to have the discussion, just to understand what a financial advisor does, how they can help. And by all means, you can jump on to sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help if you are after an introduction to a financial advisor that you can trust, or if you are after an introduction to a mortgage broker who you can trust. All the professionals on my trusted panel have been vetted, and you won't be disappointed with the level of service and the style of service. For this episode, Courtney did mention the financial advisor she used. However, I just wanted to mute out their name because it's really not about the individual advisor. It's just more about the concepts and her story when she engaged a financial advisor. So hopefully this helps you, and I'll speak to you guys soon. Bye. Courtney, thank you so much for having a chat with me today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your situation?
So I currently work full time in like media and government affairs for the Queensland government. So I graduated uni a couple of years ago and got a full time gig, which has been pretty good. And I guess money wise, I realized now being an actual adult, I needed a bit more than an Excel spreadsheet to get me organized and put a foot up my ass to, oh, can I swear?
Yeah, you can do what you want.
Yeah, I guess like,
you're speaking on behalf of yourself and the Queensland government, so you can do what you want.
I just need to like get my butt moving. So that was that.
Before you got professional financial advice, what was your impression of the whole advice world?
So I suppose I was pretty lucky. I had a friend in the industry already, so I kind of had a little bit of exposure to what goes on. But I guess in my mind originally, I thought financial advice was just kind of a tick and flick, and that, you know, you would go in and ask for an investment and they'd tell you what to do, and then that was it. See you later. Yeah. Done and dusted.
Yeah, and what led you to want to seek your own financial advice?
So I guess having a full-time salary, you know, that's a lot more money coming in than when you're part-time and you've only got a few bills to pay. So now being an actual adult, I realized I needed a bit more structure. And if I was going to, you know, start up an investment portfolio and save for a house, I would kind of need some professional advice to steer me in the right way, because there's only so much that I guess Googling and reading can do.
Yeah, totally. And how did you go about finding a financial advisor?
Well, shameless plug, I went through the Sort Your Money Out website and just filled out the little survey.
Ah.
And yes, I was recommended with. So.
Yeah. And okay, so this is an interesting point. So who has helped a lot of listeners of My Millennial Money, based out of Sydney, but basically only does remote work. How was the experience for you dealing with an advisor who wasn't face-to-face in the same room? Was it a big thing or just like, whatever, it's all good? What was your experience there?
I suppose it was kind of more convenient. At the time, I was doing shift work, so doing like remote video calls and stuff like that was way more easy to fit into my schedule. So I guess it was good, and it didn't feel like there was any distance. You know, you get the same questions, the same answers, the same experience, really.
And what was the process like for you?
Of getting the advice in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I found it, like, I guess, super in-depth. We initially had, like, a little 15-minute catch-up after he was recommended to me through Sort Your Money Out website. And we just kind of, like, had a chat about what I do, what he does, and see if it would work. And that led us to our like initial consultation, I suppose, which went for, I think, maybe an hour. And we just went through like everything I want to do with my money, everything I want to do in my career, all of those kind of goals that I had in mind. Mm. I mean, we didn't even touch on like a plan initially. It was just what I wanted to do, my ideas, getting it all down on paper and going from there.
Yeah, wow. And do you feel like the advisor wanted to know about you and your own goals? Or was it this, oh, I feel like I'm just here to get ripped off and be taken advantage of? Like, what was the feeling when you first started talking with the advisor?
So absolutely, it was goal-based. So I never at any stage thought I was being taken advantage of, because it all kind of circled back to me in the most modest way possible. I was the center of the universe for those those consultations. So, you know, everything linked back to a goal that I'd mentioned at first. And, you know, if those goals had changed in the weeks between our meetings, you know, we'd just readjust and have a chat about what that looked like. So I guess I never questioned it. I just totally thought like this is my goal, and this is like his advice and help on how I can get there. So it felt super personalized and I loved it.
Yeah. And what type of advice did you actually get with working with the advisor?
So, and we looked at how I could best save for a house in like 5 to 7 years. So that's through investment and also through just regular old savings. So what that looked like from my salary and how I could budget that in, ways to tweak what I was spending already to achieve that goal, and then also set up another investment portfolio as kind of like my rainy day fund.
Sure.
So that's like a long-term investment that'll just be for me setting my future up, because that's a really big thing that I've got in mind. Like I'm 23, I'm already earning like a really good salary. So I better be making the most of it, because as last year and already this year has proven, it can go sideways so quickly. So you've just got to do your best to make the most of it.
I don't want everyone to know your salary, but can you tell us, I'll make a number up, is it over $75,000?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, you're earning good money for your age, so you really wanted to be intentional and dial in. Now, a question that I've got for you, like the advisor set up some investment accounts and I'd imagine you're just contributing to them. Did you feel it was more important to kind of outsource that type of thing as opposed to worrying and trying to do all the research yourself? And because there's a million investment apps out there and there's a million Instagram accounts with people who invest and all that stuff. What was the thought process with getting financial advice professionally tailored to your situation as opposed to the DIY?
I guess if I had previously tried Raise, and I don't know, just because it wasn't really tailored to me, I thought it would never really, like nothing would come of it.
Yeah.
And I guess I always had that in my mindset that unless something was specifically thought out for me and was tailored to my situation, I just didn't think I could be doing the best I could. Like, I mean, I can listen to a million podcasts and do heaps of Googling and do it myself, but there would always be that thing in the back of my mind that's like, is this just a waste of time? Like, have I done something wrong?
Yeah.
Not being a professional and not really knowing what I'm doing. So getting that help, it kind of puts it into perspective, whereas like, oh, they know what they're doing and they can help me out and I don't have to do the stressing.
And do you think there's less of a chance of you having like a bit of a brain shock and wanting to quickly jump in and grab $1,000 to blow on something that you know, that was kind of last minute, where if it's set up with somebody else, there's that extra barrier of, no, I need to leave that in there?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. When I got my investment plan, there were all these projections like each year as like what my savings should look like, what the investments potentially could look like. And that's a constant motivator. It's always that like little milestone that you could or should be reaching.
Yeah.
So it was just something to like always have in the back of my mind to stop me from buying an extra pair of leggings or three pairs of shoes.
Yeah. Did you have an initial amount that you started with in terms of an investment capital?
We kind of discussed, based on how much I'd had saved and what I'd put away as like an emergency savings account, what I would have left and what we could invest with.
Yeah.
So for my like long-term savings. We had an amount that I'd put down as an initial capital of just of $1,000 and then gradually adding to that every month. And for like my house deposit savings, I'm still working towards the initial, I guess, capital going into that of $10,000.
Yes.
So that'll be a few months down the line.
Yeah.
I'll be giving the call and we'll be getting that cracking. So
nice. Very nice. Now, what did you pay for advice?
So in total, my advice cost, I think, $3,000 off memory.
Yes.
And that was in total, and that'll include setting up my next investment when I have that next capital ready to go.
Now, do you have an ongoing service arrangement? Do you pay a monthly fee, or is it just set up once off and then swing back around and review over time? What's the ongoing relationship look like?
So there are a few options that I had when I finished doing all the meetings and we set up that plan. One of them was to do like a really in-depth, like they would get my bank statements, everything like that to really keep me on track. And then another one was just, I guess, monthly reviews or quarterly reviews, whatever that looked like. I'm really trying to do it on my own. But if by the end of the year I am struggling, I will definitely go on to that kind of like monthly, quarterly check-in and have that regular meet, like touch base kind of situation. And that was like a monthly fee. Or at the moment, if I do need help or I need anything reviewed, I can just touch base and then it's a one-off cost that they'll just invoice me depending on what I want or what I need, how in-depth, that kind of thing.
And do you find that there was any pressure to be signed up to an ongoing thing where they own your soul every month, or what was the vibe like in terms of that type of pressure?
The bull was totally in my court. Yeah. There was no pressure whatsoever. I definitely felt like I was comfortable to make that decision to not have the ongoing relationship unless I change my mind down the track.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know for a fact that having those projections would keep me on track. And if by some incident it doesn't, and then I've got no problems reaching out and being like, please help me.
Yeah. Now, did you discuss insurances with the advisor?
I absolutely did. It's something I'm still looking into. I guess I'm scared to make that final leap into adulthood where you do get insurance and everybody shames me for that. I know he told me that I needed to do some more research and then touch base with him. So it's still something I'm thinking about. It was definitely an option.
Yeah. I could have some fun with you right now. And I'm not like, I don't shame anyone. It's just like, I just want you to own the logic. So it's like, do you
have- Oh my gosh, I've listened to the logic so many times. Yeah. I hear it from my friend constantly. I know I need to get my butt moving on it, but-
What, so what's the biggest thing you think that if you are paying, say, $100 a month for income protection, for example, that you're officially not a young person anymore? Is that the mental
block? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like I'm digging my early grave.
Well, but why don't you move back home with your parents then?
Oh, my gosh.
Because
that would be an early grave.
Yeah, but by definition, you're paying rent in a shared house. Like, adults do that.
I could absolutely just go in loops. There is no logical reason why I'm putting this off.
Yeah.
But look, I'll do it. You know what? I'll change my mind.
Yeah, I'm going to, after this phone call, because I've got the advisor to introduce you to me, I'm going to reply and say, get the insurance happening. anyway, no, it's not about that, but at least it was discussed and considered.
It was. I am definitely considering. I will be pulled out of my rabbit hole.
Awesome.
Soon.
Was your impression of financial advice after you've been through this process, did it exceed the expectations? Did it meet the expectations? Was it underwhelming? Was it worth it? What are your vibes in relation to that?
Oh, I now have so much more appreciation for the amount of questions that they ask and how in-depth it really goes. And the fact that it was so goal-based and specific to me, it really just goes to show how personalized it is. It's not just that tick and flick that I had in my mind. There's not just like one investment package that they hand out to everyone at the door. So, totally worth like having that peace of mind and knowing that it's my plan. It's for me and my future. And yeah, and 100%.
And I guess like $3,000, that's a big chunk of money. But because you were intentional, you know, you could turn around over the next 3 years and use that plan that you've paid for with heaps and heaps of money, right? So it's kind of in terms of the plans you've got to invest for the future, it's certainly a very low once-off cost, right?
Oh, absolutely. In the scheme of things, like the fact that you pay $3,000 now and set yourself up for way down the track, it just makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. What would you tell anyone who is thinking about getting financial advice?
Just absolutely just do it. Yeah. Don't even think about it. Just do it.
Or at go least on the have website the chat. And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like it's easy enough to go on your website and get recommended someone and have a little 15-minute chat. And if you decide, you know, that's not what I want, you don't have to do anything with it. But,
yeah,
you know, at least it's like a step in the right direction.
And do you feel like, you know, I put that website together because, you know, there's a lot of advisors out there that do not align with my vibe, for example. And I want, when you are talking with one of the advisors on the recommended advice panel, that they kind of are the same. I don't know. They see this. They see the world the same way as I kind of talk about it on the podcast. Like,
yeah.
Was that a fair assumption that that person got what you were about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the podcast is a big mood, so I was expecting nothing less, and absolutely delivered.
Yeah, because like the last thing I would want would be to refer someone who's just a complete cockhead and wants to and that's why, to be honest, like, I actually kind of put you on the spot asking you about if you felt ripped off or pressured into the ongoing stuff, because if you said, oh, there was a little bit of pressure there, I probably would review that relationship, because I just want people to have an open discussion and at least see what's possible. And if you don't want to commit to stuff, well, you don't have to. But, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely no pressure whatsoever. And my LinkedIn bio is absolutely going to read, not a big cockhead from now on. So
yes.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. Is that PC to say in 2021?
It's 2021. It's 8 days in. We're already in the shit.
All bets are off.
Exactly.
America's about to invade itself because it's been taken over. Well, thank you so much for the chat. And yeah, I value you being part of the M3 community.
No dramas, anytime.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorised representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451-289.